Welcome to Radio Sephirot's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sephirot's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, how many objects did the pre-war Jewish Museum in Prague have, and how many did it have in May 1945 at the end of World War II? Misha Seidenberg is the visual arts curator of the Jewish Museum in Prague. She spoke with us about the museum, its surprising history, and some of the other Jewish sites that can be visited in Prague.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today. I was wondering if you could tell us first a little bit about the history of the museum. When was it founded? By whom? What did it contain at first? How has it grown? That kind of thing.
Well, the history of the Jewish Museum in Prague is, interestingly enough, a very long history, and there is a large pre-war part that is very little known to the larger public. The Jewish Museum in Prague was actually founded in 1906, which makes it the third oldest Jewish museum in the world, basically, in Europe and North America, because when we consider the foundation of the Jewish Museum in Vienna, which came about in 1895, and then the Jewish Museum in New York, which was only 2 years before Prague, 1904, then it is really an impressive history that actually was there before the Second World War. And many people tend to think that the history of the Jewish Museum in Prague started really with the Nazi occupation of the Czech lands, or the promulgation of the Protectorate Bohemia and Moravia in March 1939. But that is simply not true. There is a lot more, actually, to elaborate on in terms of the history of the institution before the war. And the major impetus for founding the collection or starting a museum actually was what we call the urban renewal of the former Jewish ghetto of the Jewish town of Prague, which coincidentally was decided by the municipality, the Prague municipality, by the end of the 19th century. There was an ambitious plan to rebuild the entire area, which used to be the Jewish ghetto for centuries, where the Jewish population was segregated for centuries, and which ceased to be the ghetto in the mid of the 19th century with the revolutionary year 1848. The old walls of the ghetto and the gates of the ghetto came down, and the Jews started what we call the emancipation process, or were allowed to move out of the area, were fully emancipated in 1867, and little by little, the traditional area of their residence, the former Jewish ghetto, actually started to turn into a totally ill-conceived area, basically a slum, that was not really well viewed by the municipality, and they had to do something about it. So that was actually the original impetus for what we call the urban renewal. And with the urban renewal, because there were many buildings that were torn down and essentially the entire area was cleared, there were also some important historical buildings, including synagogues, that were taken down during this process. Obviously, the urban renewal lasted for several decades. It was not done overnight. And so the Jewish scholars who were associated partly with the Jewish community in Prague, which was historically the largest Jewish community in Bohemian lands, and also with Charles University, started to think about how to preserve the movable property from the synagogue, what we later came to call the precious legacy. And they came up with a brilliant idea to start a public collection, so they founded a museum association, which was a typical status of a museum organization at that time. And it was Hugo Salomon Leben who was really the founding father of the organization of the museum institution or the association in 1906. The first public exhibition or display, small display in a private apartment, but open to the public, was opened in 1909. And then in the time of 2 years, the museum was able, or 3 years in 1912, actually, the museum was able to open a larger exhibition in the Chevra Kadisha building closer to the old Jewish cemetery. And then the Chevra Kadisha was very helpful, and the Jewish community was always very helpful to its museum, because it really started as a sort of community museum. So in 1926, the museum received even larger building on the other side of the old Jewish cemetery, and this is where the third and the largest public display of the pre-war museum was opened in 1926, and it was accessible to the public till 1939, or I should say 1940, when the Nazis actually shut the collection down or abolished all the Jewish organizations. By then, already the protectorate.
Do you have any idea how popular it was before World War II? Did a lot of people go to visit it?
Well, there were ups and downs, obviously, and as we can read when we read through the records in the archives, there were definitely the initial years were really the most enthusiastic years, when the founding fathers were really enthusiastic about their new project, and they could actually get aboard many people at the community and also inspire a lot of members of important Jewish families in Prague, mostly in Prague, but also outside of Prague, to donate objects to the collection. So they're primarily objects that are relating to traditional Jewish life in Prague, which was considered really disappearing at that time already, with the emancipation process in full swing, and people starting to basically look for the modernization. So the curators were really worried about certain things disappearing, and they convinced many people to basically donate these objects, either objects from synagogues or from traditional Jewish households, to the collection. And there was also a smaller faction of visual arts and documentation in terms of photographs and graphic art that was also always part of the collection as a sort of iconographic extension to it. So there was really this eagerness to document the disappearing Jewish life in that period. So I would say that definitely was, I would say, the rocket start of the Jewish Museum. And then obviously during the First World War, the situation was very difficult financially and otherwise. So there was the second rebirth, basically like 2-3 years after the end of the First World War in 1921. And again, there was a rise of interest in terms of documentation of Jewish synagogues and cemeteries and other Jewish sites, not only in Prague, but obviously also all over Bohemia and Moravia. But it pretty much focused on the local history. So when you look around Europe, obviously during the 1920s and especially 1930s, there were other Jewish museums that were emerging. They were not necessarily following the Prague example, but they were only coming about decades later, I should say. So yes, indeed, Prague was a leading example in a sense, but not necessarily being copied by the other Jewish museums.
You say that they were trying to preserve the culture of a, I guess, Jewish community that was becoming lost, you said, through assimilation or whatever. Was it a big Jewish community? Was there a big Jewish community in Prague at the time?
As I said, the historically biggest Jewish community was always Prague when it comes to the Czech lands, what we call the Czech lands, which would include pretty much today's Czech Republic. So, yes, the community was definitely quite large. The estimate of the Jewish population in the pre-war period, and again, the demographics are a little bit more complicated because we're dealing with changing borders and changing territories. The estimate for the Czech lands would be something slightly over 100,000 people, 110,000, let's say. But obviously, most of the Czech and Moravian Jews perished during the Holocaust. So when we're talking about the Shoah in the Czech land, then we're talking about the years 1939 and 1945.
How did the museum survive World War II?
That is probably the most known chapter, or many people might have read about it in various publications. It was described many times since the 1960s, the first book that came out about this dealing with the history of the Jewish Museum and specifically its history during the Second World War, came out in 1968. It's called The Story of the Jewish Museum in Prague, and it was written by the first post-war director of the Jewish Museum, Hanna Volaskova, who also worked for the museum during the war. And because she was basically part of the team of the curators who saved the museum during the war, she was able to describe into very meticulous detail what was going on during those tragic years. Basically, when I was talking about the pre-war history, I said that in 1939-1940, the museum was closed down by the Nazis because the Nazis basically disbanded all Jewish organizations. So obviously the Jewish Museum was not an exception. And the only Jewish organization that remained in operation was the largest Jewish community, which was the Jewish community in Prague. And the only task of this Jewish community, of this organization, of this body, was to register the Jewish property and to register people for being deported to concentration camps. The Jewish community at that time had several departments, and one of these departments was the cultural department, and the other one was the regional, so what we call the regional department, that was taking care of the Jewish religious communities outside of Prague. And we don't know exactly how, because we're in tremendous lack of any written documentation from this period. Everything or most of the negotiations were done basically orally by phone or in private conversations. But we know that the Jewish scholars and the Jewish curators who worked for the Jewish Museum before the war developed tremendous efforts to negotiate with the Nazi leadership, and specifically with the Central Office for Jewish Immigration, that was overseeing all these operations and all matters concerning Jewish community and Jewish population in the country, and try to convince them to reopen the museum that had been just closed down. And they somehow succeeded in August 1942. And obviously, there were two different motifs. On part of the Nazis, we assume, we cannot really corroborate it based on any written documents because we don't have them, they most likely wanted to preserve it for propaganda reasons. And the Jewish scholars obviously took the opportunity to salvage as much as they could from the cultural heritage of the Jewish community at large, meaning the Jewish community in Bohemia and Moravia. So what they started was really like an unprecedented and really, I mean, the only I know of self-help rescue mission, if you want, organized by the Jewish community itself. Obviously, it was overseen by the Nazi leadership or the Nazi authorities, but it was really organized by the Jewish scholars. And they reached out to the Jewish communities outside of Prague that were being abolished and instructed them to pack everything in their synagogues, like all the ritual objects, ceremonial objects, all the textiles and silver and precious books and manuscripts and prints, and send them to Prague. So Prague really literally, within a period of several weeks, became a central collecting point for this amazing amount of valuables from various communities and synagogues outside of Prague. And obviously also the collection of the pre-war Jewish Museum, which comprised of say, 800 objects at that time also became part of this collection that was only emerging in 1942, and also some other collections that belonged to other regional Jewish museums, like the Jewish Museum in Nikolsburg in southern Moravia, or the Jewish Museum in Jungfernstein, that were significantly smaller but very interesting collections indeed as well. And also the Jewish Museum in Prešov, which is now Slovakia, became part of the collection of the Prague Jewish Museum during the war. So just to give you the sense of proportion, I said that the pre-war Jewish Museum in Prague had for about 800 objects. During the 33 months of the existence of the so-called Central Jewish Museum, since August 1942 till May 1945, that number actually increased to 40,000.
Wow.
So that gives you the proportion of what the collection was before the war, how it grew during the war years. And not only that the collection of the pre-war Jewish Museum in Prague survived, but it was significantly enlarged by or increased by those shipments from the abolished Jewish communities. Obviously, post-war, there was only a relatively small window between 1945 and 1948, a relatively small window of freedom and democratic development in the country before the communist coup d'etat took place in February 1948. The Jews that returned from the camps that survived or were able to return from the countries where they emigrated to during the war or at the beginning of the war, were trying to reconstruct the Jewish life in what was then Czechoslovakia again. But obviously not all the Jewish communities that existed before the war could have been reestablished. So there was actually the Jewish Museum that also served as a sort of treasury or sort of receptacle of these liturgical objects that at that time could have been again redistributed to these re-emerging Jewish communities to basically renew their Jewish life. But obviously the country was affected again by two major emigration waves, one connected to the communist coup in 1948 and the other one after the invasion of the Warsaw Pact armies in August 1968. So obviously the communities that were reestablished right after the war were again disappearing, and the objects were partly returned to the Jewish Museum and partly also disappeared, which is also why we are even today finding objects that originally belonged to Czech and Moravian Jewish communities or were part of the collection of the Prague Jewish Museum that reappear on the market, the global art market. Hmm. And we are actually trying to trace them back and put together all the evidence so that we can claim restitution of these objects.
So is the permanent collection now, would you say, most of those 40,000 objects and artifacts that you had at the time of the war that you collected?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. The core of the collection is most the Judaica that museum received during the war. So in a sense, it really is a memorial to all these abolished Jewish communities. And there is a small faction also that is predominantly in the visual arts collection, which is the field of my expertise because I'm the museum's visual arts curator, which was confiscated from individual owners, mostly from Prague and the immediate surroundings. That means the owners who were deported at the beginning of the mass deportations in 1941, 1942, and 43 to either the ghetto of Lodz or then the transit concentration camp in Terezin.
Can you tell us what that collection is made up of and what you do as visual arts curator?
Well, the collection mostly contains, as I said, ceremonial objects, judaica, so that means textiles, silver, other metal objects, and then we have a magnificent collection of manuscripts and rare prints. We also do have quite a large library that has its own history, and we also do have archives. So the museum is not just a traditional museum collection as we know it, but it really is a large documentation of Jewish life, say, since the beginnings of the Jewish settlement in Czech lands, so basically contemporary. And we do have also displays, but obviously for logical, practical reasons, you can only see the tip of the iceberg on display. And we do have a specific situation here in Prague because most of the synagogues could not have been restored to their original function, original purpose. So they're not really serving as synagogues anymore, and we're using them for our museum displays. So we do have, in fact, four synagogues and one Hevrakarisha building that are today part of the Jewish Museum, and we are showing all these, not all these objects, but a fraction of these objects in those exhibitions. We are, at the time being, we're remodeling the exhibitions that were completed new in the 1990s, and we have the first exhibition that was remodeled and reopened last year in the Meisel Synagogue, which contains a lot more interactive elements. And then, obviously, also the Old Jewish Cemetery is part of our tour, guided tour. So if people come, they can see not only what's inside the buildings, but also, obviously, the Old Jewish Cemetery, and in fact, the entire former Jewish Quarter, the famous Jewish town of Prague, is the entire museum, basically.
Is there a Jewish community in Prague now?
Yes, there is an active Jewish community. Obviously, we do have an active Jewish community, and the museum is part of it. This is another chapter, which I don't know whether we do have time to describe in detail, but in a very, very tiny shell of a nut, the museum was nationalized in April 1950, and then it became the so-called State Jewish Museum, and the situation basically remained unchanged till 1994, and it was only in October 1994 when the Jewish Museum became again denationalized and was returned to the Jewish community of the Czech Republic at that time at large, and became part of the Federation of Jewish Communities. So now we have a situation where we are a private institution again, and we are closely connected, obviously, to the Jewish community of Prague.
I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there because we're out of time. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, you're very welcome.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.